Let's begin with a word of prayer. Eternal, loving Heavenly Father, how grateful we are, Lord, that we can be here in thy house. Lord, that we can have thy word before us, that we could be gathered one with another in prayer before thee, beseeching thee, the Almighty God, for a blessing, and knowing with full faith and assurance, Lord, that thou wilt be faithful and thou wilt be gracious and will provide for us a blessing if we but yield ourselves to thee. And so we pray, O God, that thy spirit would have the preeminence. We pray, O God, that we would be yielded to thee. We pray, O God, that we would allow thee to speak to our innermost being. And Lord, that we would not refuse thy word, Father, but that we would readily accept it into our hearts. And then there, that we might then have the grace to walk according to thy will and according to thy word. And so we pray, Lord, that thou bless us one and all. For we pray this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For our reading this morning, let's turn to the book of Ephesians and read chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye may know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. It's always a great blessing when we can set aside time in our day to read the Word of God and offer prayers unto Him and know that he hears our prayers and know that he feeds us when we read his word, and it's a special blessing to us. But even more so, when we gather together as a body of believers, as the body of Christ, gathering together here in his house, this place that has been dedicated to worshiping him, that when we read his word together and when we pray together unto him, there is a great blessing in that. And so may we have a thankful heart for that great blessing that God has given unto us, that we are able to gather here together, that we are able to read his word together, and that we are able to offer prayers unto him together and know that he hears us when we all pray together in faith. There is a verse, and actually just a portion of the verse, that spoke to me as of this chapter, and that is in verse number 6, where it says, "Doing the will of God from the heart." This is something that the Apostle Paul was writing to those in Ephesus, that they would, in this case, as servants, do the will of God from the heart. And yet, in all things, the Lord would desire of us that we would do all things according to the will of God from the heart. That with all of our being, that with all of our spirit, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, that we would desire to do the will of God from our hearts. That we would magnify him and that we would please him well as we yield our will to his will. The Lord Jesus, on that Sermon on the Mount, he was teaching those that were of his disciples that were gathered there that they ought to pray in such a manner. And he taught them how to pray. And we, as the Sunday school, and as we just recite that prayer that Jesus taught us, one portion of that prayer is that thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is our desire. This is our prayer. This is what we would long for, that the will of God would be done here upon this earth as it is done in heaven. We know with certainty that God's will is done in heaven, and our desire is that God's will would also be done here upon this earth. And we live in such a manner that we're living out the will of God, and we're doing it from the heart, not just to be seen of men, but from the heart. We're living out the will of God in our hearts. And then we think of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one we seek to emulate, the one who is our Redeemer and our Savior. As he was there in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, and as he prayed to the Father with great earnestness, that his sweat became as drops of blood, that if it were possible that this cup could be taken away from him, then he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." The Lord Jesus desired that God's will would be done in all things, that his Father's will would be done. And so he prayed for that. And he taught us to pray that God's will would be done here upon this earth as it is in heaven. And so for us, we likewise desire that we would live for him, that we would do the will of God from the heart in all things, and that we would glorify his name. We have to submit to him. In James we read that, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God." If we want God's will to be done, our will needs to be dead, and the will of God has to be alive in us. In the letter that the Apostle Paul had written to Romans, he writes, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be." The carnal mind is at enmity against God. That means they're at complete odds. God's will is sovereign, and he gives us free will. He gives us free will, but he wants us to submit to his will. And if we live it with a carnal mind, we will be at odds with God's will. The Bible says that in the latter days, evil times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self. That means that they will want to do their own will. We know that a selfish person will only do his own will and not yield themselves to God, will not do the will of God from the heart. The carnal mind is at enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, and it cannot be. But when we yield ourselves to God and submit ourselves unto him, his will then could be done in our hearts and in our lives. And we will be drawn close to him. And we will have a closeness with him when we yield our will to his will, even as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has showed us. And so as we go through this chapter, read this chapter, let's remember that in all things, that we would be doing the will of God from the heart. And so first he speaks of children. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is what God desires. This is the will of God, that children would obey their parents in the Lord, that they would honor their father and mother. This is the will of God. This is what he desires of us as children to do. And he says that this also is the will of God, that ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So those of us that are fathers, we need to take care that we don't provoke our children to wrath. And the Apostle Paul in the letter to Colossians writes this almost same thing where he says, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Here he says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is incumbent upon us as fathers, that we would not discourage them, but that we would nurture them. Nurture them. Show them the way of Christ. And if there are times when there should be some admonition, it should be first done in love. First done in love. This is the will of God. And we ought to do these things from the heart. Then he speaks of servants. And it appears that this would be an actual servant, as in a slave, where it says that they should be obedient to the masters with fear and trembling. An employee wouldn't necessarily serve his employer with fear and trembling, but yet we are as employees to be obedient to our employers and be one who would add value, one who would be faithful and in with good fidelity, doing that which he is responsible to do, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ. This is what the Lord is calling us. This is the will of God, that we would be the servants of Christ. Servants of Christ. Doing as Christ would do. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. All things that we desire to do, it is to be for the Lord. So whether one is being served by our actions, it's actually to the Lord. In all things that we would do, all things, that it would be as unto the Lord. Glorifying his name and showing that an expression of gratitude and thankfulness for what the Lord has done for us. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. As we do unto others, it will be done unto us. And Jesus brought forth that teaching, saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So we ought to do that which would be good to others, because the Lord will render that in return to us. If we give sparingly, the Lord will be sparing in his giving to us. But yet, if we give bountifully in all things and in our service to the Lord, in our glorifying of his name, that he will render unto us those things which would be a great blessing to our lives. And he speaks of masters here and forbearing, threatening, knowing that we have a master in heaven. And with God, there is no respect of persons. God doesn't hold the master higher than the slave or the employer higher than the employee. But there is no respect of persons with God. But we are all to do the will of God from the heart, pleasing him well. Then we come to verse number 10, where he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Strong in the Lord. We can only be strong in the Lord if we yield ourselves completely unto his will, that his will would be done, as we pray that his will would be done here upon this earth as it is in heaven, as we seek to emulate our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, where he prayed earnestly for something, and yet he prayed that God's will would ultimately be done, that the Father's will would be done. And so the Apostle Paul is encouraging the believers in Ephesus, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, being strong in the Lord. He also wrote to Timothy, almost the same words. He says, "Thou therefore, my son," his spiritual son, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So he added that, "in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the Lord. And as we read through Ephesians chapter 6, we see over and over that it's all in the Lord. It's all in the Lord. What we do as doing the will of God from the heart, it's all in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And over and over in this chapter, it's all in the Lord. And so we're doing this for God and for what he has done. And so he's writing here to Timothy, and he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Even as he tells those in Ephesus, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Well, how do we receive that grace? How do we receive that grace? In James, it speaks of a contention between the flesh and the spirit. And then he says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble." God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Okay? And then in Timothy, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus," in the Lord. In the Lord. So if we work it backwards, if we are humble, then we receive grace. If we are proud, we don't receive grace. If we are humble, we receive grace. And in that grace, then, we can be strong in the Lord. And then we get to back to Ephesians. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We will not be successful. We will not be able to overcome the enemy of our soul. We will not be able to contend with the prince of the power of the air, with our own might, or with our own wisdom, or with our own abilities. We will fail, and fail miserably, if we go forth in our own selves. So it requires that we go forth in humility. In humility, that not my will be done, but thy will be done. And when we have humility, then God dispenses grace. And in that grace, we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not our own might, in the power of his might. But it requires that we have humility. There's a proverb that says, "Though God be lifted up and high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off." The proud he knows afar off. And he will not dispense grace to the proud. And they will not be victorious. They will not be drawn near unto him. The carnal mind is at enmity against God because it's not subject unto the law of God, neither indeed can be. So it requires that we have humility on our part. Not my will, not my will, not my desires, not my aspirations, but God's will be done. God's will be done. The will of the Lord be done. And he dispenses then grace. And he has respect unto the lowly. Those are the words of the Bible. In Proverbs we read that. That though God is high, he has respect unto the lowly. He does not dispense his grace to the proud, but unto the lowly. And therefore, then, we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We look at these things and we say, there's no way we can battle against these things. And that's true. That's true. If we go forth in our pride and say we can do this, we'll fail. We'll fail. But when we yield ourselves to the Lord and in humility pray to him, asking him for grace and for strength, that he will provide these things, and that when we yield our will to his, that he will provide. That he will provide. We can draw near to God when we yield our will to his will. That his will would be done in all things. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. And he goes forth and he describes a defensive armament. And all of these are defense armaments. As we see, having our loins girt about with truth, that having that protection there, having the breastplate of righteousness, feet protected with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking on the shield of faith. These are all defenses, except for the Word of God. The Word of God. And even as Jesus used the Word of God against the devil as he was tempted there in the wilderness, so ought we to be continually looking to the Word of God. And so he speaks forth of these attributes of being able to stand before the Lord and our sources of strength. So first he begins with truth. We know the Bible to be the sole source of truth. And we look to his word and the guidance thereof, and that we would speak forth the truth, and that we would live forth in truth, and that we would have on righteousness, his righteousness, not going about to establish our own righteousness, but having the righteousness that is of God, and having on this gospel of peace, or taking on this gospel of peace, that as we would do battle, so as we would be in an engagement of a conversation with one who is certainly against the Lord and having a carnal mind, perhaps maybe not being a ruler of darkness and spiritual wickedness, but simply sometimes just having a conversation with one who doesn't believe in God and who perhaps has even a violent spirit, that we wouldn't respond in like manner, in that violent manner, but that we would show forth the gospel of peace. Show forth the gospel of peace. Above all, taking that shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Having a faith and believing in he who can do all things, and not losing any faith in that. Not losing any faith in that, but having a full assurance and a full confidence that with God all things are possible. He will provide. And he has a glorious vision in all things for us as a people, as individuals and as a people, as the bride of Christ. He has a beautiful plan for each one. And he will provide. Yet we need to have faith in that and believe that to be true. Taking on the helmet of salvation, we have a glorious hope, and my mind always goes to First Peter chapter 1. We have a glorious hope, a hope of heaven, that we go through this life, whatever number of decades it is, and there's struggle, and there's temptations, and there's disappointments, and there's things that just alarm us and disturb us, And it's with great difficulty. And Jesus said that in the world ye shall have tribulation. And so that's what we have in this world. And if in this life we have hope only, we are of all men most miserable. But we have a hope that goes far beyond that. And so Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." We have this lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, and is reserved in heaven for you. This is the hope that we have. And so we go forth in this life that though there are battles, though there is great difficulty, though there is spiritual wickedness in high places, and though we see things coming out of Washington and out of the universities and out of all the institutions of this world and see the wickedness all around us, yet we have a hope. Yet we have a hope. And that hope carries us through. If this was it, we would be miserable. We would be miserable. But we have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled. It fades not away, and it's reserved in heaven for us. This is the hope that we have, and it's part of our armament. And it allows us to go through battles. It allows us to go through these tribulations in our lives. And so we are to take a part of this armament of God, of the hope of salvation that we have. And this word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Spending time in the Word is critical. It's really critical that we spend time knowing what God's will is. Knowing what God's will is. It's important that we know what God's will is. The Bible says that this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. This is the will of God. The will of God is that in everything we would give thanks. In everything we would give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So whatever it might be that we are going through in our lives, we ought to give God thanks. This is the will of God. This is the will of God that we as children would obey our parents. This is the will of God that we as employees would do service to our employers. This is the will of God, that we take on the whole armament of God. This is the will of God, that we would walk in humility. Humility, not my will. My will is not important. God's will be done. God's will be done. I render it all to him. Whatever he has, he has. I give my will to him. And when God sees that, when God sees such a heart, he has respect unto them. He has respect unto them. And then he deposits grace. And we can go forth in that grace then and be strong in the Lord and in the power of might. We don't need to make a show out of anything, but we can be strong in the Lord. And we can bless his name. And then he speaks here of praying. Another critical component of the armament of God, praying. Praying always, always, consistently, consistently praying. Being in the mode of prayer all the day long. Lord, here's the situation. I need thy grace. Help me to do thy will here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That as we have thoughts in the Spirit, that we would be able to utter those things, and when we come up short, that the Lord provides. In Jude, we read a verse that says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God." Praying in the Holy Ghost. So here we read, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. With a capital S, in the Spirit, that he would direct us in our thoughts, in our words, that we would be able to know how it is that God would have us to be yielded to his will, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is the will of God. This is the will of God, that we would be earnest in our prayers, that we would be in praying always throughout the day, that we would always have this mode of reaching out to the Lord, reaching out to the Lord. He will help us. He will help me, reaching out to the Lord. And then always having that spirit of thankfulness likewise. Doing this with all perseverance, not giving up, not giving up. Perhaps we've prayed for something for a long time, but not giving up, not giving up. And supplication for all saints. We desire to be yielded to the Lord. We desire to be doing the will of God from the heart. And likewise, we have a desire for each and every one of us to be yielded completely unto the Lord, that we would submit ourselves unto God. That and then as we submit ourselves unto God, and as we are strong, then we desire others to be strong in their faith, others to be yielded fully to the Lord, that they would do the will of God from the heart, that they would have the humility that they can then be filled with grace from above, and that they can then be strong in the Lord. And so this is the will of God, that we would pray earnestly, pray always, and pray for one another. Pray one for another. And then he says also that for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. It's a great comfort when we hear you brothers praying to the Lord and asking that God would bless the messages that would come forth. It gives us great courage and comfort when we hear those prayers. And even as the Apostle Paul here was asking that of the Ephesians. And then I'd just like to close with the last two verses. He says here, "Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This is God's desire for us, is that we would have peace. So the Apostle Paul begins this epistle to the Ephesians with grace and peace being unto them. And he also closes this epistle by saying that peace and grace would be given unto them. And so this is what the Lord would have. And Jesus gives that to us, and he says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." In a measure that's beautiful, in a measure that's all-encompassing and fills us with in every measure, that the peace that we can have that comes from on high, that we would be blessed with that. Peace be to the brethren. So then as we pray for one another, as we are instructed, because this is the will of God and we're doing it from the heart, as we pray for one another, let's pray that peace would be to the brethren. Pray for one another, that we would have peace. Peace in our hearts. And love with faith. You know, faith was described there as being the shield, that we'd be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The engine of faith, it speaks in Galatians, that is love. The engine of faith is love. And so we ought to have love in our hearts that faith would then abound. And this is from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all in the Lord. This is who we receive grace from. This is who we receive peace from. And this is where we receive our strength from. And then he says, "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Grace be with all of them. All of us, when we love the Lord in sincerity, we're not doing it for a show. We're not doing it so other people can see, as it was for the Pharisees, that when they prayed on the corners, street corners, so that everyone can see them, or when they put money into the treasury, they made a show of it. No, we simply want to love the Lord in sincerity. In sincerity. At all times, at all moments, wherever we may be, that we would love the Lord in sincerity. And when we love the Lord in sincerity and we have that humility about us being yielded to the Lord, that we would desire to do the will of God from the heart, that grace then can be given unto us. This grace can be given unto us when we love the Lord in sincerity. It's a blessing to be yielded completely to the will of God in our lives. There's a great blessing there. We can be connected to the Lord. We can be part with Him when we are yielded to the Lord. When we pray earnestly, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." There was a time when Jesus was preaching to his disciples, and his mother and brethren were on the periphery of the crowd. And it was made known to Jesus that his mother and brethren were on the outside and desiring to speak with him. And he waves his hand and he says, "Who is my brother and my mother and my sister?" And then he says, "Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my mother, brother, and sister." We can be connected with Jesus Christ. We can be one with him. We can have that title of being a Christian when we yield ourselves to the will of God. Jesus made known that to us. When we yield ourselves to the will of God, we can have that communion, that oneness with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. May God give us grace thereto. Amen.
This morning we've been reminded and encouraged to be as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And we were blessed to hear the wish of Apostle Paul, "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." To love the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, with sincerity, and to be the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, these are one and the same. And it's only made possible to those who have their hearts cleansed by Christ's precious blood and his work upon the cross, that he would make us new, and that we would be born again, so that from our hearts would flow that love and service. And that opportunity is available, my friend, for you today to call upon the Lord while he is near, to seek him, to ask him to begin that work within you. And he desires to continue that work in each of us, brothers and sisters. The world has a saying. They say, "As long as the heart is right, nothing else matters." But from what we've read, that's not really true. When our hearts are made right by God, have been cleansed, and are moved by his Spirit, then everything matters. Everything in our life has significance and meaning. From our relationships with our families, our children, and our parents, the work that we do day in and day out, whether it be out of the home or within the home, the secret battles that we fight with temptation and the struggles, the prayers that are offered by the saints of God that maybe nobody hears, but God hears. It all matters. Because we are the Lord's. Because he is with us. Let us remember that presence of the Lord that is with us and allow him to work within us as his servants on this earth, that truly God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.